Tereo Ererangi o Te Mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
This is Bold Women on the Move, the show for migrant women making their way in New Zealand and across the world. With your host, Morenike. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Bold Women on the Move. And we'll continue our conversation with Ellie about the Maori culture, understanding New Zealand, biculturalism, multiculturalism. Ellie, welcome back to the studio. It's good to have you. Yeah, the conversation, like I mentioned in, you know, the last podcast, I know that the conversation is extensive and it's not going to just be one part episode. And we ended up on the note of talking about Tikanga, you know, and we were trying to look at the partnership between the government and the Tangata Whenua, or the, you know, the people of the Mana Whenua, that was what he used, of the different localities, you know, when it comes to Rahui. Rahui. Yeah. And we ended up on that note. This shows that the Maori as a culture, okay, that is probably different from my culture, Yoruba culture, or the European culture. So what's unique about the Maori culture? So, you know, just educate us. I know that's an exhaustive subject, but you just take it away. Just give us like an overview. Give us an insight. What are the, if you were to talk about like five key things about the Maori culture, what would you be talking about?
I don't know about uniqueness because, as I mentioned in the last interview, I've travelled extensively and spoken to many other cultures and connected and built relationships with those cultures. So the more and more you connect with the other cultures, you realise actually what we thought was so unique to us actually is shared by many others.
Yeah.
Our biggest one, I think, is whānau, is family and how important that is to us. But not just, you know, mother, daughter, son. And father, and it's more than that. It's intergenerational care and manaakitanga, so the care of each other and what that means. So, for example, I have in our little household, we have what's known as a papakāinga. So a papakāinga is a place where you'll have kids. We built a cottage out the back for my parents. So my parents live on the property. We have our animals. We have uncles and aunties. So why that's important is that you've got all those generations of experience, all those people and different ages navigating life, and they're all there bouncing off each other and helping each other. And the other part of that is my parents are now in their 80s, and we thought we'll look after our parents because that's a responsibility for us. We know that we look after our parents because they look after us, right?
I'm laughing because I'm seeing similarity between your culture and mine.
These are all the commonalities that we need to know. So we look after our mum and dad, but I tell you what, mum and dad, every so often, especially when I'm navigating some big stuff in my life, all I got to do is walk across the lawn, sit with my mum and dad, put the kettle on, have a cup of tea, and I'm getting advice from them about navigating this period of my life. So it's not about I'm looking after mum and dad and they're not giving anything back. There is a reciprocity in each other, having those generations. Youth on the property brings youth and that youthful energy to older people. And older people bring that level of maturity and mātauranga and wisdom into the household. And my husband and I's generation, which is a bridging generation, we're Gen Xs, Gen X, bridging between our tamariki, our rangatahi, so our children, our youth, and our elders, our kaumātua, we understand that we have a role. So everyone has a role to play in our papakāinga. And I think that that's really important and a big part of who we are and big part of who our culture is. Instead of you grow up, you move on. What we absolutely encourages people, go out, go do stuff, go see stuff. When you're ready, though, come home. What is that contribution back into the whānau, into the family? What is that contribution to the wider whānau, our whānui, our hapū, iwi? So we have whānau, the nucleus, hapū, which is basically this whānau plus the other whānau, the kazis, the cousins, the aunties, the uncles, so the whānui. So so all of those families, all those whānau make up the hapū.
Yeah.
And then all of those hapū, all those big families, and it goes out and out, well, they make up iwi.
Iwi.
Or ngā iwi. That's how we have whānau, hapū, iwi.
Iwi.
But whānau's the nucleus.
Okay, and so aside the family structure, which is the whānau, the hapū, and the iwi, what are the other things that stands out at your event? For example, the way you bury the dead, food. You know, what are those things? You know, what are some of those other philosophies that are key?
You know,
for example, if I'm talking about my culture, I'm from the Yoruba culture in southwestern part of Nigeria, and there is this theory or philosophy of what is known as Omoluabi, that is a child that once you have been given birth to, you now have like a self-reflection, and you want to ensure that you reflect your culture, you make your family proud. So it's like your motivation is to make your family proud, you know, to make people around you. And you know, when you're being referred to as an Omoluabi, it means that everyone believes that you've made us proud. You know, you are living a life that is worthy of emulation.
Yeah.
So aside the family, what are some of those philosophies or things that you hold there, you know, in the Maori culture?
Well, our culture is very much like a lot of indigenous cultures. It's tribal, right? So, which means that we're about the collective. So we all understand that we have our own contributions to make, but we're trying to move as one and move as a collective. So we look at all as opposed to the singular person, but knowing that we have to build the skills and the valuable contributions of that singular person, and everyone has a role. And the other thing about that is that everybody has a role, no matter how old you are and where you are and what you're doing and what phase of life that you're at. So that contribution at all times, no matter what, even if you're away from the whānau, that's really important for us. So it ensures that we are all feeding into the collective thriving of the community, and that's really important to us. So that is a base philosophy, and it's a tribal philosophy, one that's experienced around the world. But in Māoridom, that's really, really important for us. You mentioned before funerals, or we call them tangihana. This is really important, how we treat those that are transitioning on into where they go to next. So for us, and I won't go hard out into it, but I'll give you a couple of things. We give the spirit 3 days generally to leave the body. So we don't put a lid on the coffin. The body is out and open, depending on a whole bunch of factors. But predominantly, we leave it, give it 3 days, and to allow the spirit to leave the body. And during those 3 days, we're by that body all the time, 24/7, to say goodbyes, to welcome our manuhiri, our visitors, or our whānau who's coming in, so they can say their goodbyes as the spirit leaves the body. And that is a really important custom for us. And the way that we treat those who have moved on is really important in our world. So we have this tangihana. We also have the Kai. I will mention the food because it's really important. Right?
Very important.
So generally, when you come on to a marae, you come in and you get welcomed on as a karanga. So the it's always the woman is the first voice.
Can you backtrack? What is a marae? Let's backtrack. What is a marae?
It's our place of gathering.
Okay.
It's a place to come together. It's a place that it's our, we call it Tūranga Waiwai, the place that we stand strong in. We know that we belong there no matter what.
Is it owned by the iwi or the apu or the whanau?
Oh, that's a very hard question because in different places around the motu, around the land, it's very different. It depends.
Okay, it depends.
But generally it is run by, it is stewarded by, as opposed to owned, it is stewarded by the people of the land, the people who whakapapa to that space. Not always. And we call these people our ahika. They are the ones, ahika means the home fires. So these are the people who tend to our home fires. And so our marae, when we go back there, sacred place, lots of things happen on the marae. Conversations happen, celebrations happen. The beginning of wars could happen on the marae, you know, all these things. So when you come onto the marae, you're generally welcomed if it's a formal situation. You're welcome through a karanga, by a kaikaranga, which is our wahine, our woman, who are trained, who have our reo, who are trained in karanga. And the reason why the women speak first is because they open the door between this space over here and the space that you're coming into. They open that door. And so that is a role of the woman. Very much we have responsibilities of the role of the wahine and the role of the tāne, woman and male.
And the man.
Yes, absolutely. And so you get called on, and it's such a spiritual experience if you've ever had a karanga, someone karanga will call you on to a marae.
Yeah, I've experienced
it. Yeah, it is a spiritual experience. Yeah. And so that all happens, and that's important. And think about when you invite people into your house. You invite people into your house and they usually will come into your sitting room and you'll sit there and you'll have a kōrero. So the marae ātea where all those speeches happen. Well, that's you sitting in the living room having a kōrero. You're finding out what you're all about and what I'm all about. This is our whakawhanaungatanga time. This is my time to understand where you're from, why you're here, and your understanding as haukainga, the home people, what we're about. And what this kaupapa or the thing that we're here is about. So you're in the living room having a cup of tea. So you're on the marae ātea having the cup of tea, getting to know each other, not having a cup of tea. There's no food or drink. You're having a kōrero. You suss that all out. And after that, we have a cuddle or we exchange breath. Okay, through hongi, which is our pressing our noses.
Yeah, of the noses.
Yeah, we're exchanging each other's wairua, each other's spirit. We're breathing that in, right? And so you have that, and then what we do straight after that, we go into the kitchen.
And have
we
the
go
kai.
Into their wharakai, and we have a kai. That's what's known as whakanoa. That is, we're very big on ceremony. So, you know, this is the tapu. This is you're lifting the tapu from the sacredness is now being lifted from the ceremony because you've now made it. We've thought you're okay now. You've passed the dining room and we've now let you into our kitchen. And you know when you're in the kitchen, you're in the right place because that's where all the kai is. So our tapu, balancing what's tapu and noa, is really important. Balancing the sacredness of ceremonies is really important. And once we've had a kai hākari, we've sat down together and we've eaten, we have now lifted that sacredness of the ceremony and now we can go and do whatever we're going to do. And you've just been invited into our kitchen, so all good, get up, go do the dishes.
Interesting.
And then you'll be told, no, we've got it. We'll do the dishes. Don't worry about it. But, you know, take your cup back, take your plate back to the kitchen when you've used it because it's about all of us doing our role. So there's lots of things here. This is an example.
I've experienced it, so I can picture, you know, how you're explaining it.
Yeah,
because I've experienced it, but it's also good to put it out there, you know, for our listeners, what actually happens in the marae. Like, every one of us that are new to New Zealand, are like, I've never been on the marae. What actually happens there? What's going on there?
It's good to know
what's going on there.
I think for our listeners, just think about your home, your house when you go onto the marae. We won't let you in the front door if we haven't had a kōrero outside, a conversation outside to see what you know what it is that we both want. What is the intent of you coming inside our house?
Mm.
That's why all of the marae ātea, the outside of the marae, and those speeches happen, so we can work out, are we going to let you inside of our house? So and it depends. It does differ around the country, but That example of the marae being your home and letting them in all the way to the back of the house, which is in the kitchen, to have a kai, is really important, because that's the example in the phases of trust starting to grow in the relationship.
Yep.
And when you're invited onto the marae, that's what you're going through, the phases of trust.
Mm. Yep. Let's talk about arts. There are a lot of
tamoko, and then the
beads that you put on. What are the significance of those artifacts?
Let's start.
Because, for example, I hear that you have to be gifted the bead. You can just put it on. That it has more mana when you are given than when you just buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
tell me more.
In tamoko, the way, look, I'm not a tamoko expert. It would be totally awesome to have a tamoko expert talk about this. But this is my perspective of it, okay?
Yeah.
Because I have a few tamoko on my body and it was such a spiritual experience. This is about bringing the inside out. So, you know, we don't have I don't have, you know, Bugs Bunny on my butt or anything like that.
Mm.
You know, carrying your culture on the inside, on the outside.
On the outside.
And so my first tamoko was on my back, which was done with the ihi, which is tapped in. And that was about 7.5 hours, and I had whānau around me, waiata singing. It was very cool. Mm. And one of the tikanga, one of the protocols of receiving that, was ensuring that I didn't speak. It was because I was paying homage to my ancestors. So I got my whole genealogy tapped out on my back, which was 7.5 hours.
Wow.
And so, and I respected that tikanga. I didn't utter a sound. Some places were very soft and they did hurt. But I respected the process, and I came away from that and I felt so good. And the thing is, no one has to see it. Not many people have seen the tamoko on my back, because it's not about seeing it and it being beautiful. It's about the fact that I have brought the inside out, my genealogy out. And then my recent tamoko, I sat down with the tamoko artist and we had a good kōrero, a good conversation. And I said to him, I'm feeling the welling in my mwairua, in my spirit, of my reo, of my culture, my sense of belonging to this particular area that we spoke about. And also, I now understand fully my why. Mm. My why till I die.
what we call poppers, okay?
Yeah. I fully understand that. And so he spent a few hours and brought that out, and that's up into my throat now.
Mm.
And then my moko kowai, which is the tamoko over our chin.
Okay.
And our lips as well, nutsu.
Mm.
Our moko kowai, and people think different things. My perspective is that I will get that when my reo, when my language is fully fluent.
Oh.
Fully, like mātanga, we call it mātanga reo, which is poetic speaking, as opposed to transliteration, this word and this word.
Mm.
So poetic speaking, but also I'm living back on my whenua in Hauraki, and I am serving as ahika in the home fires, and tending to the home fires.
Okay.
So that's... moko kowai means that, for me, my perspective is that you're taking on a role and responsibility. And so right now I've got so many roles and responsibilities away from home that connect back to home. And that's where I need to be right now, which has been agreed upon by my kaumatua and our whānau, that I need to stay doing what I'm doing at the governance level, doing what I'm doing at the community level, the sisterhood, and the omniculturalism work that I'm doing at the moment. And I think that's really important. But when I go home, that's when my moko kauai will come in. Yeah.
How about the full face one?
Oh, so I think this is our tāne. This is our and our wahine can as well. But for our tāne, there is a lot of reasons why they get that. And I would prefer to leave it to them to have that kōrero about that. But it's generally, it is bringing the inside out.
Oh, okay.
It's letting people know visually as well.
Does it also depict the genealogy?
Yeah. Okay. It can. It depends on that journey of that tāne. So it depends on what they've decided and what the kōrero is, what their whakaaro, what their thought process is and what they want for themselves. And that's self-determining. That's why everyone's tāmoko means something different to them.
Okay.
But generally that bringing the inside out is a collective feeling for all of us. Yeah.
Wow, good. Yeah. How about the bead? The necklace. Yeah.
Yeah, look, you do not You get them buying it for yourself.
I mean, you
can. That's not how generally it's done.
Yeah,
generally
what I hear so I want to understand.
So our taonga is when you're given it. You were given it with that. It's a koha. You're given it with that that feeling and that wairua, that spirit, that energy of giving, like. Here you go. When you put it on and it touches your skin, over the years, and I'll tell you a little story, over the years, the energy and the mana from you, my person, then goes into the taonga, right?
Wow.
So, for example, back in the days, what they used to do is that when they used to, if they buried their dead, it depends what they did, and I heard the story many times from our kaumātua, they would put the taonga would go in, or they take the taonga off and it'll be gifted to their son or their daughter or somebody else within the whānui or whānau. So they're taking that person's mana that has now gone into that taonga and now gifted it in koha to the next person. That person will fill it up with their mana and it'll go on and on. So some taonga live to be quite old. And so we see some of our precious taonga now on display in some of our iwi or our hapu or our marae or in varying areas, and they're displaying all of that mana, that mauri, that energy, that life force, that the things that happened while that person wore it, is they display it in within that taonga. So taonga is very precious to us, and it's always better gifted, and then you receive. So. And it could be gifted by your partner. It could be gifted by anyone. But you generally don't buy it for yourself. Carl.
That's unique to know. What are some of the common kai food? Common in the Maori culture.
Oh, come on.
We'll wrap up on that note.
There's a few. We love our kai moana. Well, I do anyway. I love seafood.
Okay.
I love we love everything. I don't even. This is very hard. Question, but predominantly boil up. So we love boil up. This is you get a meat and you put it in a pot and you boil it up and you put some salt in it and then you get like watercress and then we call them doughboys, which is basically flour and water, depending how you make your doughboy, baking powder, and then you mix it all
up. We have something like that.
And then in balls, and then you drop it into the pot
into
and
the
balls, and those are called doughboys. And then you have, spuds, all of that sort of thing. Get food, put it in a pot, boil it, have salt, great. And then you make takako. Once again, this is breads, could be flat breads, big breads, fried bread on the side, and we love it. And then, of course, we have our hāngi. Our hāngi is put in the ground. Generally, there is a definitely way of putting it, ensuring that you don't get food poisoning. You know, my father has been putting hangi down since I can remember. Mm. He taught my husband, and I grew up putting down hangi with my dad, and there's definitely a way, and everyone has their different ways, but predominantly.
So is that meat in the pot?
No, so that boil up is one kai.
Yes, one. Yeah.
Hangi is dig a hole in the ground, set a fire.
Into the oils.
Set a fire. So what you're doing with the fire is you're heating the stones up.
Okay.
You're heating like river rock. Okay, so you heat your stones up, the stones get nice and hot, put the stones down into the bottom of the pit, okay, and then you grab big baskets, big steel baskets, however you choose to make your baskets, and then your food goes in the baskets, whether that be whatever food that you're eating, all your meats, plus you've got your vegetables, you've got your stuffings, you've got your, all that sort of stuff. You put it all, boom, into a basket. Wet some cloths, put some cloths over it, or you could put, banana leaves, cabbage leaves, whatever you want to do. Cover the whole thing up and leave it in the ground for a few hours, and it comes up and it's beautiful. And what I love about a hangi is you're feeding lots of people in one cook time.
Oh, that must be a big hole that you deep to be able to have a really
depends
big pot.
Depends how many people you're feeding. If you're feeding 30 people, it's not going to be a big hole. If you're feeding 500 people, it's going to be a big hole. If you're feeding 2,000 people, get the digger bucket out. But but there's a process in all of that. Everyone has their roles in preparing the food. We all have our role. We start preparing it the night before. We have the fellas, we have our males out there, our tāne out there digging the hole. It's a whole process. And when everybody comes together, as you know, we all have taken part in preparing the food. When we all sit and we break that bread and we share that kai together, oh, it's just the best feeling.
Wow. You're making me remember home. We're going to wrap up on this note. You're making me remember home. You're making me remember our big ceremonies back in. In fact, I think in the whole of Nigeria, my tribe, the Yoruba tribe, we're seen as the ones that like the big gatherings more, the big parties. So when you're talking about 1,000, 2,000, I'm no stranger to hosting a party and having that number of people come and the food, you know. Even from my own home, I grew up to see my mom hosting and cooking and cooking, you know, to host people. It's beautiful to see, just like you say, this commonality between cultures, making us to know that even maybe when you look at some Asian cultures, maybe like the India or the Chinese or the Korean culture, you will find similarities, or you look at some African culture, you'll find similarities. You'll find at the Fano, which is the family at the core of the home, and you will find food, you know, essential. You will find respect for the dead, you know, which is also something that is key in our culture, depending on the age of the dead. My culture is very strong about the age of the dead, you know, and that determines the kind of, you know, ceremony that goes into, you know, burying that particular person. So there is commonality in culture.
And spirituality as well.
Spirituality too,
Which we never talk about.
Which we never talk about because, you know, that's like a whole...
That's a whole episode.
Conversation,
That's
you know?
A whole conversation. But it's important that we talk about spirituality at some point. Because of the fact that the Western system doesn't have that. We shouldn't talk about what we don't know about. Actually, let's talk about what we don't know and what our beliefs are. I think that's important.
So this conversation is extensive and Ellie's having her coffee, so I'm sure she's all good. She's pumped up to go because we still have a little bit more to look at in this conversation. Until we'll come your way again on Bold Women on the Move. Bye for now.
Ka kite.
Thanks for joining me, Morenike, on Bold Women on the Move. I'd like to thank the Rata Foundation and Ministry for Ethnic Communities for their grants which made this show possible. You can help grow the show by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Bold Women on the Move on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who you think will appreciate this conversation. New episode come out every second Friday at 11:30 a.m. on Plains Media 96.9 FM and plains.org.nz. You can also follow Bold Women on the Move on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more great content. We'd love to hear from our listeners. And if you have a story to share, please reach out. Details are in the show's link tree, which you can find wherever you're hearing this. Until next time, keep moving boldly towards your dreams.